right, well, it's the time for the word. You know, I'm going to go quickly, but I really believe there's a word here for every one of us. I need a few bold children to sit here while I teach my message. You know, can I have some children to sit here? And it's going to be a little bit interactive as well. We're going to, you know, go over some of the things that we covered this week. Yes, please come sit here behind me. You get a first row seat to this message. All right, come on. So you guys know that I always like to start with a little bit of humor, you know, so I want to share some memes with you. And how many know that the BBS songs will be sang for a while?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, you know, you ever thankful for that when your kids are given that Christmas toy that makes sounds, and you're like, well, how cool. And then about 2 days later, you're like, man, I wish I hadn't gotten that. We hope you don't grow tired of BBS songs. So anyway, so here's this first meme, you know, if you guys want to. So they're going to want to sing them every Sunday from now.
Oh.
Yeah. This next meme is for all the volunteers and for our children's director. I would tell you, I never saw anybody with this kind of attitude. Everything was just awesome. Yeah. Sounds like a Lego movie. Yes. Everything is awesome. Yeah. And whoever has a birthday, July 3rd, you know, this is for you right here. Yes. Yeah. This week, guys, everybody, you can take the day off, okay? I just want to tell you, take July 4th off. You worked very hard. All right. All right. So, when I say, for example, when you're lonely, what are you guys going to say?
Jesus.
Okay, that was all right. But you need to do it with a little gusto. Ready? When you are lonely.
Jesus.
Excellent, excellent. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. I pray that you will bless it. Father, Holy Spirit, touch every heart according to your plan. This is a word from you, and I believe that you prepare hearts today to receive this and to be rescued, Lord God, Father, from their situations, from their lives, from their mistakes, from their sins, Lord God. So in Jesus' name we declare, Lord God, Father, that the gospel is going to penetrate, Father, and touch the deepest places in each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so the title of this message is called Rescue Me From Myself, and it's based on the prodigal son's story. Many of you are already familiar with it. I know that the children, you know, had to go through this particular lesson this week as well, this story about the prodigal son, right? So let me read it to you guys from Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 24. It says, to illustrate the point further, Jesus told them this story. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, I want my share of your estate now before you die. So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. A few days later, this younger son packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land. And there he wasted all his money in wild living. By the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into his fields to feed the pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him, but no one gave him anything. When he finally came to his senses, let me just say that again. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, at home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare, and here I am dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant. So he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. Hallelujah. This is our Father. His son said to him, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy of being called your son. But his father said to the servants, quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet, and kill the calf we have been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast, for this son of mine was dead and has now returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found. So the party began. By the way, if you have the Bible app, you can follow our notes. You'll do a search by GPS, and you can find Shiloh in there, and our notes for the message are in there. But I just want to say to you guys, this passage begins with the Pharisees and teachers, a.k.a. the religious rulers, putting down Jesus for associating with sinners. and those considered to be the worst of society. By the way, one of the marks of a religious spirit, I'm talking about one that does not have a relationship with God, or maybe started with a relationship with God, but somehow moved into a religious lifestyle, is that that person does not seek solution to a dying world, but simply points them out. And they feel better by comparison. Oh, I'm glad I'm not as bad as they are. Thank you, Lord. We're not like those people. And we see a lot of that going on in our nation this day. So Jesus tells us this parable, this story about two sons. One was the wasteful son, that's what prodigal means, and the two, the self-righteous son. I think we may have both kinds in here. Some wasteful sons and daughters, maybe some self-righteous sons and daughters. Now the thing is that both of them lived under the provision of the father. And this is the biblical model. Fathers provide for their children and they live an inheritance for them. Our Heavenly Father not only provides everything we need, but He has prepared an eternal inheritance for those who receive it with humility. Amen? So you can be like the wasteful son who has sinned much, or the one who has sinned little, but either way, you need rescuing. Amen. So when you have sinned, that's right. Thank you. They both begin with the same lie that Adam and Eve fell for. Did God really say? Wasn't that the first lie? The serpent came to them and said, did God really say? Oh, you know, he's... So, in other words, this is what the serpent was trying to get them to, and I think a lot of us have fallen for this lie. He's holding you back. He's holding me back. This lie was accepted by the wasteful son when he thought, I know better than my father. I can make my way around. I can do it my way. But I want to tell you, when we step out, I'm under the provision of our father and the lateral limits that he places in our lives, you know, it comes to sin and destruction. You know, a lot of young people today suffer from this. They believe that in church that they're missing something. What am I missing? Well, I'm in church. I'm missing out on life. I'm missing out on experiences. I'm missing out on all the fun. Not knowing all the while that they're wasting all the great things that God has given into them. And I want to tell a young person, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. You need to, you know, stay under the provision of your Father. He will take you in the most wild adventures. I can tell you for a fact. You know, I gave my life to the Lord when I was 8, you know, and I've never walked away, thank God. I've always been inside the provision of the house, and I've gone on adventures, you know, to many countries, to different places. But especially, I never thought that this child who was born in central Mexico, who spoke English until he was, Spanish until I was 12, that one day I'd be the pastor of this church. I never thought about that. You will do amazing things for God. You will never miss out on anything because God has a specific purpose for your life. He's not holding you back. As a matter of fact, you know, your wildest dreams, the Bible says that things that no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, nor has entered into the heart of man, those are the things that God has prepared for those that He loves, those that He love Him. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you might think the Bible's holding me back. All these rules are holding me back from what? You think from greater happiness, from greater fun, from greater pleasure, from greater knowledge? But it was fortunate that the wasteful son, even though he thought he could be there, he could do it better, and he ditched his old man, he realized eventually, I need to be rescued. I need to be rescued. This message is not just for the children today, it's for all of us. I think there's many people here that need to be rescued. Some from a wasteful lifestyle, some from a religious lifestyle. The word says, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We like in other places says, we like all sheep have gone astray. All of us. So we have to look up to the Son and realize that we need to be rescued and be brought back to the Father's household. So our kids learned this week, this 5 times. When you're lonely,
Jesus,
and when you worry, and when you struggle,
Jesus rescued.
And when you do wrong,
Jesus rescues.
And when you're powerless, Jesus said you have to receive the kingdom like a child. You think, oh, this is little truths. This is just, you know, funny little sayings. But I'm telling you, there's deeper truths in here that some of them I've already understood. And some of you may be not receiving them because you think they're too simple. There's a simplicity which you must receive the gospel. He's our Father. Only God can rescue us when we do wrong, when we have gone astray. He can bail us out. Whether we are suffering the consequences of our sins, or maybe the consequences of the sins of others, because I know some of us have been victims of other people's decisions. Our children are victims of our decisions as parents. And very likely you were, you know, the result of the decisions of your parents, whether good or bad. There were seeds sown. But the reality is that in those situations, whether you sin, whether your parents sin, or here's a third kind that we talked about a few weeks ago, maybe something that God led you into. So that God leads us into a test. And some of you might be being led to a test in all three categories. Your sin, someone else's sin, or because God's in your test. The answer is still the same. Jesus rescues, right? When you're being tested.
Jesus rescues.
Thank you. Hallelujah. When you're lonely, He embraces you. When you worry, He is your peace. When you struggle, He is your breakthrough. When you do wrong, He forgives you and ever brings back your sins to remembrance. And when you're powerless, His Spirit empowers you to do everything that you couldn't do before. You know, when I gave my life to Jesus, I still carried a lot of, you know, baggage. But you know what? And I used to be a very angry kid. I used to get into a lot of fights, had a lot of issues. You know, in school, I kicked a teacher, threw a rock at a classmate, you know, got suspended. But when I gave my life to Jesus, my mom said, Eric, you need to ask God to change you. Just the thought of that would make me angry. I can't believe they're pointing that out. But you know what? I received it. And I remember crying and said, God, I don't want to be like this anymore. Change me, God. Change me. I don't want to be like this anymore. The Spirit of God was working inside of me, began to convict me, you know, of the wrongdoing. You know what? And over time, I noticed that I was able to have peace in my life. I began to have self-control. I began to see people differently. I no longer had a need to, you know, go into rage. God is not holding you back. I want to tell you, God wants to hold you up. God is not holding you back. He wants to hold you up. There are some believers that are in here today who are still doing things their way. You come here, you listen to the word. Maybe you've been giving your life to Jesus. But when you come, you know, to employing the word in your workplace, to employing the word in your household, you're still doing it your way. And it's leading you to further pain and destruction. It doesn't work like that, guys. We have to let God be God in every area of our lives. Look at Psalm 32, verses 1 through 2. Oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, who is put out of sight. Another verse says, blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven. Hallelujah. Yes, what joy for those who record the Lord, whose record the Lord has cleared of guilt, whose lives are lived in complete honesty. One of the biggest issues in this world is a lack of peace. And the greatest peace you can have is the forgiveness of your sin. To know that the Creator, your eternal Father, has forgiven your sins. The Bible says that He puts your sins as far as east is from the west. Another verse says that He puts them at the bottom of the sea where nobody can fish them out. He will remember them no more. When you are forgiven, and you receive His forgiveness, because some of you have been forgiven, but you haven't received it. You haven't taken the gift. He will make you feel squeaky clean. Doesn't matter what you've done. The most shameful thing, things that you wouldn't want to tell anybody about, that only God may know about, He will forgive you, and He will clean you, and He will give you a hope, and He has an inheritance for you in heaven. No, it doesn't matter what you've done, like this prodigal son. But there are religious sons and daughters in this place, and I want to tell you that is a more dangerous place. Jesus called the religious rulers whitewashed tombs. You look good, all nice and white right there, but underneath there's death. There's death inside that tomb. So let me give you some marks of the religious spirit. I'm not going to give you all of them, but here's some of them. Trying to conform to outward holiness without inward transformation. Here's another one. Always critical of others' walks with God. They say that you judge others by their actions, but you judge yourself by your intentions, right? Here's another one. You perform Christian duties, but have no passion or hunger for God. God wants us in love with Him, passionate for Him. It's great to serve this way. Even the volunteers are here. I love you for what you did. But make sure that you're getting fed in with the Word. Make sure you're spending time with Him in prayer. Because that's where the power comes from. That's where the anointing comes from. Number four, you know the truth of Jesus, but you don't know the way of Jesus. That's what I'm talking about. You may have all this religious, spiritual knowledge that you can see here, but you don't know how to apply it out there. You don't know the way of Jesus, the way of mercy. When my daughter, the second one, was born, they had a medical error at the hospital. They gave her the wrong IV to my wife, and it caused my wife to go into even stronger, you know, contractions to the point that it was squeezing the life out of my daughter. You know, when she was born, she had an Apgar score of like 2, you know, just because she wasn't receiving enough oxygen. But God did a miracle right there, and people said, "Are you going to sue them?" I said, "No, I'm not going to sue them. My daughter is miraculously alive, and she's fine. She's healthy. Everybody knows her. She's a handful, you know." But I want to tell you, if you extend mercy to people, one day you're going to make a mistake, and God's going to give you mercy. Whatever you sow, you will also reap. I don't need to be getting rich that way. That's not God. That's not the way of Jesus. And last, you project righteousness, but inwardly you're filled with anger and resentment. That's the religious spirit. Look at Luke 8, verses 9 to 13, and I'm almost done. Give me like 5 more minutes. To some who trusted in their own righteousness and viewed others with contempt, he also told this parable. 2 men went up to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. Are you seeing this? There's always two. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, "God, I thank you that I'm not like the other men, swindlers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and pay tithes of all that I receive." Looks pretty good. But the tax collector, you know, that were looked down upon, they were like the worst of society because they served the Romans. They didn't like him. Stood at a distance, unwilling even to lift up his eyes to heaven. Instead, he beat his breast and said, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." Let me say that again. "God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you, this man, rather than the Pharisee, went home justified. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted." The self-righteous son looked down on the wasteful son and did not understand why the father welcomed him back. "I've been here all along. You never thrown a party for me." I mean, it was a little bit like the Jews not understanding what the Gentiles, which is all of us, why we could come into the kingdom. You know, why are you extending it to them? Because God wants his family. God wants his whole family. He wants both sons. The religious one, and he wants, you know, the wasteful one. The one that has completely gone the wrong way and wasted life and opportunities. And you've gotten into trouble. But one day you looked up to heaven. Maybe today is that day. And you say, "God, I'm done doing it my way. I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking today to people." Luke 15, 31, 32 says, this is the last part of that parable that Jesus told. "We had to celebrate this happy day, son. For your brother was dead and has come back to life. He was lost, but now he is found." Hallelujah. The Bible says that when a sinner repents, the angels rejoice in heaven. You know, when 68 children gave their life to the Lord, there was a major party going on in heaven. Hallelujah. And it doesn't matter what you have done. If you will repent today, you know, for the first time, or if you walked away from God and you wasted some opportunities, God is saying, this is your time. I'm telling you, the heavens are open right now in Sierra Vista. God is doing a new thing. People are coming into the kingdom. You know, somebody told me today that they came once again because their child told them to go to church. I want to tell you that you're not the first. That's happened already this year, you know. You know, God's speaking through children. Psalms, I think it's chapter 8, says, out of the mouth of babes, God perfected praise. You know, God can use a child. You know, these children are going to take something home that's going to touch different lives. So the work that you volunteers, that every one of you, you know, partook in, is going to have great reward. We will never know truly the effect of all that you have sown into this week. Hallelujah. Hopefully one day when we get to heaven, God will say, hey, check this out. These people are here because of you. This child that you ministered to then moved away, became this great, amazing person you never thought about. Hallelujah. I'm excited. So, the good news is that Jesus rescues both sons. The one with many sins, at least he thought, you know, he had way too many sins. And the other one who thought, very little sins. He rescues both kind. If your religion is not flowing with living water, if there's no life to you, when people are around you, are they refreshed? Then you may have a religious spirit. Do they sense mercy, grace, love? Life-giving water, it says, when the Spirit is in you, it says it'll become like a river of living water inside of you. Hallelujah. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed, says the Word. Hallelujah. So, but you need to be rescued. He wants to rescue from yourself. So if you have had many sins, and if you're very religious, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.